Hello and welcome to the May 5th edition of our 2020 Proxy Bulletin podcast series. I'm Ana Luisa Faria, Senior Analyst on ISS Latin American Research Team, and joining me today to present some initial highlights for the 2020 Latin American proxy season are my teammates John Reedy, Matt Schaefer, Diana De Leon, and Rika David. During today's podcast, we will focus on six of the largest Latin American markets: Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and Peru. We can't call today's discussion a review of the Latin American season for the simple reason that it isn't over yet, due to multiple meeting postponements and cancellations in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. So far, our research team has delivered a total of 633 reports for meetings held between January 1st and the end of April in 2020. Our running tally of delivered research reports is roughly 25% below the 800 or so reports that we delivered for the Latin American region during the same four-month period for the 2019 proxy season. So we are expecting a significant number of further meetings to trickle through over the next few months. While we can't tie a bow around the season yet, we can discuss what has transpired so far, including some key regulatory changes made in response to the pandemic and the introduction of virtual-only meetings in some of the region's largest markets. And this uncertainty takes us to the first question for my colleague, Matt Schaefer. Matt, when will the 2020 proxy season end in Latin America?
Well, in a normal year, as you noted, the LATAM proxy season will be over by now, with the final meetings wrapping up in the end of April. The 2020 season, of course, is nothing but normal due to the pandemic. While the peak of the meeting season has definitely passed, a significant number of companies postponed or canceled their meetings due to the health risks and logistical difficulties created by the virus and the absence of clear regulatory guidance regarding alternatives to in-person AGMs. While many companies have already announced their new meeting dates, the region's AGM calendar now extends into July. And for new meetings that were simply canceled, the market is still waiting for companies to update to announce their plans.
So it would be fair to say that the figures I mentioned in the introduction, 633 reports so far in 2020, don't tell the whole story, right, John?
Yes, exactly. You could say that the final chapters of the 2020 season are yet to be written. Due to the pandemic and many of the government restrictions put in place to reduce the spread of the virus, we have seen an unprecedented number of meeting cancellations and postponements. As of April 29th, according to the ISS COVID-19 Resource Center, we had tracked around 230 meetings that have been canceled or postponed by Latin American issuers. And more than half of these delayed meetings, 127 to be exact, were in the region's largest market, Brazil.
And do postponements extend beyond Brazil, John? And did some markets have fewer postponements?
Yes, they do extend beyond Brazil. In fact, all of the major markets in the region have seen meeting postponements. However, it is interesting to note that Chile and Mexico, which are the two largest markets in the region after Brazil, have seen fewer postponements. To date, the ISS COVID-19 Resource Center, which is available on the issgovernance.com website, has tracked only 22 Mexican meetings and 6 Chilean meetings that have been canceled or postponed.
So Matt and John, can we say that the largest companies in the markets have already held their annual shareholder meetings?
Well, annual meetings for some of the biggest players in the region haven't taken place yet. In Brazil, for example, large companies with pending meetings include Petrobras, Braskem, Eletrobras, the banks, Itaú and Banco do Brasil.
And outside of Brazil, some of the widely held issuers that postpone their meetings include Credicorp, which is a Peruvian financial corporation that is incorporated in Bermuda, and Mexican airport operator Grupo Aeroportuario del Pacífico, which is better known in the market as GAP.
Oh, thanks. So now let's bring Rika into the conversation. We'll start with Brazil, Rika. What's the new deadline for companies to hold their 2020 AGMs, and can they hold virtual-only meetings?
Thank you, Ana. The update for Brazil is that Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro issued a provisional measure on March 30th that extended the regulatory deadline for the holding of annual shareholder meetings by 3 months, which is beyond the normal April 30th limit. That means that the new deadline is July 31st. And the same provisional measure I've just mentioned also introduced the possibility of holding virtual shareholder meetings. And the Brazilian Securities Regulator, or CVM, received the mandate to establish the regulatory requirements.
Matt, when did this regulation take effect?
So the new rule was prepared and disclosed by CVM after a short public comment period and has been in place since April 17th. According to the regulator, shareholder meetings can be held virtually under certain conditions. The participation of shareholders must be registered in the minutes. The voting system used by the company must allow shareholders to communicate with each other during the meeting. The regulator left the type of virtual service used for the meeting up to the company's discretion. So far, ISS has tracked 84 meetings that have taken place or will take place virtually.
And will virtual meetings become a permanent part of the proxy season landscape in Brazil? Have you heard any concerns over shareholder rights with respect to those online meetings?
We'll have to wait and see. To become a permanent part of Brazilian law, the provisional measure must be approved by Congress, and it could be amended as part of the legislative process. That having been said, many market participants appear to believe that virtual shareholder meetings are here to stay. Given that the introduction of virtual meetings came in response to the global pandemic, no concerns have been raised so far. We'll continue to monitor the evolving market practices and regulatory developments to determine whether we will address any shareholder concerns that arise in our next round of policy updates.
And Diana, over to you next. What about the other markets in the Latin American region?
Thanks, Anna. Well, all markets covered by the Latin American research team have allowed companies to postpone annual meetings in the wake of the pandemic. So some markets also announced new regulations concerning virtual meetings. Looking at the entire Latin American region, a total of 156 virtual meetings have been announced so far, according to the data available at our ISS COVID-19 resource website. Colombia and Peru provide an interesting contrast. So based on corporate law, both Colombia and Peru require publicly traded companies to hold their annual shareholder meetings within 3 months of the close of their fiscal year, so generally by March 31st. For these markets, government measures adopted in response to COVID-19 were put in place after most of the companies had already announced their 2020 annual meetings, but prior to many of them holding their AGMs. Eventually, both markets announced regulatory changes allowing for postponements of the shareholder meetings due to the social distancing recommendations and related governmental restrictions.
Can you tell us what changed in these markets, John?
Yes. Laws in both Colombia and Peru already allowed companies to hold virtual shareholder meetings. But what changed due to the global pandemic is that now Colombia has expanded on its existing regulations and clarified that disclosure and quorum requirements will remain the same for both in-person and virtual shareholder meetings. And many Colombian companies have taken advantage of the new provision. To date, ISS has found that 28 Colombian meetings have or will take place virtually. And as a result, only 2 Colombian meetings had to cancel or postpone their general shareholder meetings. And in sharp contrast, Peru has seen 53 cancellations or postponements to date, based on data from the ISS COVID Resource Center.
How about other countries in the region? What have you seen?
So one of the more notable cases was Chile, where the corporate law actually requires that companies hold shareholder meetings in person. And this requirement for a physical meeting created some uncertainty for companies due to government restrictions on large gatherings. However, the Chilean securities regulator, the CMF, responded by announcing measures that would allow companies for the first time to hold shareholder meetings through remote means. And many issuers took advantage of the new flexibility and were able to hold their shareholder meetings within the regular deadline. As of April 29th, ISS has identified 14 meetings of Chilean companies that were or will be carried out virtually. In contrast, only 6 meetings have been canceled or postponed in Chile.
Any other interesting situation you would like to highlight, Diana?
Yes, in Argentina, companies were already legally authorized to hold virtual shareholder meetings, provided they had such enabling provisions in their bylaws. So in response to the global pandemic, the country's regulator, the CNV, authorized companies that did not have such bylaws in place to present a proposal to approve the holding of the general meeting remotely as the first item on the agenda at their shareholder meetings. So some of the market's largest issuers, including oil giant YPF, opted to use this workaround.
And can you tell us what happened in the Mexican market?
So in Mexico, they announced regulatory changes that allow delayed publication of certain filings that are ratified at the AGM. So this move effectively allowed companies to postpone their annual meetings beyond the usual deadline. This regulatory change was announced well after most of the country's issuers had announced their meeting agendas, and we have seen very few postponements to date.
What about the proposals presented by the companies in the region during this proxy season, Rica? Have you noticed any developments that could be related to the COVID-19 pandemic?
Yes. I noticed that many companies appear to be preparing for the economic uncertainties created by the pandemic. In Brazil, for example, several companies announced that all or part of their proposed dividends would be kept in a special reserve and will only be distributed to shareholders later in the year if their financial situations allow.
And I know that similar developments were noted in other markets in Latin America, right, John?
That is correct. We have seen numerous proposals that have been influenced by the ongoing pandemic and the government measures adopted in response. And this is especially prevalent at companies that operate in the hardest hit sectors, including air travel and entertainment. One of the most notable ballot items was the proposed dividend presented by Chilean-based airline LATAM Airlines Group. And to put it into context, under Chilean corporate law, companies are required to distribute at least 30% of annual distributable net income in the form of dividends. And this limits a company's ability to simply forego dividend payments. Given that the company had not yet paid any interim dividends, the board proposed to suspend the payment of the company's dividends for fiscal year 2019 until the circumstances are more advisable. And prior to the AGM, the airline had announced a reduction in its total operational capacity by approximately 95%. So the solution found by LATAM Airlines was to present the minimum required dividend and at the same time to propose deferral of its payment. And moving back to Diana, I recall that there were some other notable agenda items at Mexican firms that were responses to the pandemic.
That's right, John. In the same sector, Mexican airport operator GAP initially disclosed a proposed cash dividend representing approximately 50% of its 2019 net earnings. As the pandemic's impact spread, the company amended its proposal to postpone the dividend distribution as a way of preserving the company's liquidity. We also saw some Mexican issuers, including restaurant operator Alsea and fitness club operator Grupo Sports World, request shareholder approval to authorize the companies to renegotiate or modify the terms of commercial or financial operations in response to the current health emergency.
Share buybacks have been recently in the public eye, especially surrounding loans and grants provided to companies in the context of government bailouts in the U.S. John, have you seen any impacts on share repurchase in the region?
So Mexico is the only country in the region where share buyback proposals are presented at annual shareholder meetings. And on March 31st, Mexico's securities regulator, the CNBV, issued recommendations that Mexican banking institutions abstain from making dividend payments, share buybacks, and any other mechanism intended to compensate shareholders. The regulator hopes that these measures would ensure that the banking institutions are in a better position to both absorb potential losses stemming from the pandemic and also to provide financial resources to strengthen the economy. However, the impact of these recommendations is not yet clear. In Mexico, shareholders approve maximum share buyback authorities, but only later in the year will the board actually make the final decisions on how to allocate the funds approved by shareholders.
Matt, considering the pandemic, ISS provided some guidance on the application of our voting policies with respect to dividends. Can you tell us how this guidance came into play in this season?
Sure. Regarding dividends, ISS updated policy approach took into consideration the extraordinary circumstances caused by the market downturn and the need for companies to manage cash in an uncertain economic environment. ISS generally supports dividends within the 30 to 100% range of net income, but the new guidance permits broad discretion for boards that seek to set payout ratios that fall below historic levels or customary market practices. ISS also took into consideration whether boards disclosed a plan to use any preserved cash for dividend reductions to support and protect their business and workforce. One company that received ISS support despite proposing a dividend payout below 30% was Grupo SuperV in Argentina. In fact, the company's report was published before ISS updated its dividend policy, so we later issued an alert to change the vote recommendation, which was originally against, to 4. But this was an exception, right, Rika?
That's right, Matt. And in most cases, what we noticed were companies proposing to approve their customary level of dividends, but requesting shareholder support to keep these resources in reserve to be paid later, depending on how the pandemic and its economic consequences develop. This trend is something we will have to monitor throughout the year, but we have already seen some interesting cases. The Brazilian companies Lojas Renner and Engie Brazil Energia, for example, refiled their proxy documents to decrease the original dividend proposals, anticipating potential difficulties to be caused by the pandemic. And Ternium Argentina went as far as canceling the dividend distribution that had been proposed in the first version of its proxy statement.
Diana, ISS also provided some guidance on the application of voting policies regarding share repurchase. Can you tell us about this guidance during season?
Yes, the guidance has not significantly changed how ISS evaluates share repurchase proposals at this year's AGMs. However, in advance of 2021 AGMs, we will evaluate board's actions related to repurchases over the course of 2020 to assess whether directors manage risks in a responsible fashion for any repurchase authorities approved this year.
Now, I want to go around our virtual roundtable for any last thoughts on the impact of the pandemic on markets in the region. Would you like to start, Diana? Is there anything else you would like to highlight?
Yes, Anna. There has been significant market turbulence and commodity price swings attributed to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, which has also severely impacted the currencies of many emerging markets. The Brazilian real and the Mexican peso have been two of the hardest hit global currencies, both losing close to 25% of their nominal value compared to the US dollar since the end of 2019. So for Mexico, this sharp drop follows a strong 2019 when it outperformed the US dollar, supported by the Mexican Central Bank's high interest rates.
Rica, your final thoughts?
Yes. Staying on the same theme, I would just like to add that the Brazilian real was already in the middle of a devaluation trend, which was deepened with the COVID-19 pandemic.
John, you get the last word.
The emerging markets' currency devaluation against the dollar has been largely attributed to strong safe haven demand for the U.S. currency and the poor performance in commodity prices. Emerging markets, including many of those in Latin America, continue to be heavily reliant on commodity exports, and demand for many commodities has drastically fallen with the economic slowdown. Most notably, the price of oil has fallen to multi-decade lows in recent weeks.
That's all for now. As we discussed in the opening segment, the Latin American proxy season will continue into the foreseeable future as postponed and temporarily canceled meetings reconvene. When it officially ends, we will be back for a full wrap-up of the season. I'm Ana Luisa Farias, and until then, I would like to thank my teammates John Reedy, Matt Schaefer, Diana DeLeon, and Rica David for their insights. And thanks to you, our listeners. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast. Watch your email for the next installment and send any feedback or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. Goodbye for now and stay safe.